call the meeting to order. First order of business is trustee reimbursement form.
The blue form.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, what do we?
Patty will, talk about, oh, Aaron can talk about it.
Either one of us, well, sorry. The reason, that that's on here is, accounting's had a little bit of confusion as to, you know, if trustees want the per diem or the mileage, or if they just forget to check a box, or,
They lose a check?
That too. So, basically what we're requesting, I believe, is that, you either check that you are taking the per diem and mileage, or that you're declining it, and then turn in one of these forms at every single meeting. We just don't want anybody to get missed, and we want to make sure that, everyone's being paid correctly.
If I may.
Per diem when I don't have one coming.
See, again, I don't take a per diem, I don't take the mileage, but I take the mileage to give back to the county. Now, I do lose a check, I just lost this last one here, I didn't cash it, I don't know where it is. Is it possible to, send it directly to the county?
I honestly don't know, but I can look, I can look for that answer.
I mean, it's not that much, but I just thought.
Okay, if I may, Mr. Chair, I've been on this board now too long, probably. Anyway, I've never filled out one of these. Because the county, we don't get per diems anymore at the county level, but we do get mileage, and the county pays me mileage, so I don't want to take out of this budget, because that would decrease this budget, so that's why I don't turn anything in. Do you still want one from me then?
Well, what we did recently with another board member is, if you decide that you're going to decline both all the time, just have a statement in writing that we can put in the file, so that Linda knows that she's not missing a sheet, that you've decided that.
Yeah, so something like a standing letter that just says I'm declining per diem, or I'm declining per diem and mileage, and then we just keep that in our files and accounting, and then when she gets all the sheets, she knows that, okay, Dave's not taking it.
I've never done it. So.
You know. That would be acceptable too.
To write. I guess you could note and date it for the time period, you know, if it's for the calendar year, that would be fine.
We should do that.
Right. I've had to do follow-up. In the last 6 months, it seems like it's been more either a box has been missed or the intent wasn't clear. And so we're trying to eliminate follow-up. And if you have another suggestion as to how to do that, this is what we came up with at this point. But, and that's why we want to account for every person that was in attendance at every meeting.
Anything else on that? All right.
I don't have anything else, unless Patty does.
Okay, thanks, Patty. Thanks, Aaron. All right. St. Cloud State user, non-user survey results.
All right, we have with us today Dr. Hemish and Dr. Finan from St. Cloud State University. You might recall we contracted with St. Cloud State last November to conduct a user, non-user survey, and they are here to present the results of the survey.
Hi, everyone. Oh, wow. I feel much more important than I when I'm in the front of the classroom. I'm Ann Finan. This is Amanda Hemesh. We are both faculty directors at the SCSU Survey Center. You caught us on a little bit of a busy day. This is the second day of our spring annual survey, and every spring we survey the students at SCSU. Every fall we survey the general public. You might have heard from us for one of the general public survey, or maybe one of our others. We worked with Karen. I can't seem to position myself, so I'm not behind some of you, so my apologies.
We're used to it.
We worked with Karen over about a year, right? I think just about a year. We started creating the survey. We worked with your very particular needs. We looked at some previous work that had been done and developed the current survey. Has this group seen the survey before?
No.
Is this the first
Well, some board members might remember the 2015 user non-user survey.
Is there a way to dim these lights back here so that so we can see the... I always have a hard time with this one. That's probably best.
Jay knows exactly which buttons to hit.
Okay, so stop me and ask questions if I have lost you, if I'm assuming background knowledge that you don't have, and we'll aim for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then any questions you have, and is that where we're at? Okay, good. I don't want to take too much of your time. Thank you so much for those lights. Okay. Hey, that's all of us. Feel free to contact us for any follow-up. All right, so as you probably know, we did two kinds of methods for this version of the survey. We did both a telephone survey, and that was a relatively small number of completes. Amanda, how many was it?
426.
426. And we did an internet survey, and we ended up with almost 8,000 respondents. So this is a very exciting response rate for us. Here you can see some of our demographic characteristics. We compared users and non-users, and based on Karen's input, that was operationalized. Users were people who had used library services in the last 12 months. Non-users were those who had not used library services in the last 12 months. So they might be people who had had a library card for a number of years but just hadn't used it recently, or they could be people who had never had a library card. The people were contacted from the library, your own list. Okay, so this is not a random sample. It is not, you know, talking about its representativeness. It's not a random sample of the central Minnesota population. However, the response rate was so high that you can be pretty confident in the results. The phone survey was indeed a random sample of central Minnesotans. So the two samples, users and non-users, were actually very similar. We were surprised there were not clearer demographic differences between those two groups. It might be that the definition of user was just a little bit more inclusive than, no, the definition of non-user was a little bit more inclusive. So perhaps to get a good breakdown, we'd have to go longer than 12 months. So what else to point out here? Men and women largely non-users. More women than men responded. Overall, the sample is overwhelmingly white. Okay, so it's really a sample of white users or non-users of the library. And that's pretty typical for these kinds of surveys. To get a better sample of people of color, you generally need to do a much more targeted study, and that's mostly a result of the numbers, that there are relatively few in terms of who's represented in our sample. We're a very well-educated sample. Both your users and non-users are better educated than the general public, so keep that in mind as you're thinking about it. Anything else you wanted to highlight here?
So we'll divide the results into what we found for users versus non-users. And not surprisingly, users were very likely to have library cards. Most of them use their own card. Less than 1% of your users are borrowing somebody else's card, although it is more common for them to share their card with somebody else. We also found that users tend to be pretty high volume users. So the majority of people who said that they visited a library in the past year visited at least 11 or more times. Only 11% of your users ticked that they visited a library less than 3 times in the past year. Not surprisingly, St. Cloud is a very commonly used location. Some of our other more commonly used locations are also located in bigger cities, so Elk River, Wake Park, Buffalo. Although each location that we asked about, we had people who had used those locations. So people tend to use the library services mostly for traditional books or magazines. That was by far the most frequently endorsed reason for seeking out GRRL services, followed by video services, so Blu-ray, DVD, VHS, and then the digital library options as well. In addition to asking what types of services people used, we also asked them about their satisfaction with the library overall and then with each of the individual services that they endorsed. On the whole, people are pretty satisfied with library services. So overall, the net promoter score was 77. The majority of participants rated the library very highly on a 1 to 10 scale, with 10 meaning, yes, I will definitely recommend the library system to a friend or family member. We also asked about overall satisfaction and had participants rate just fair, good, poor, excellent, great. And the majority of people, the overwhelming majority of users, rated the library as either excellent or very good. So, satisfied overall. Oops, I'm missing a slide. When we asked about satisfaction with particular services, the highest satisfaction was with the books that were offered through the libraries, followed by VHS and DVD, Blu-ray, and then the digital library as well. What questions do we have about our user subsample?
I want to talk about the social piece, or are you going to get
that later? We also asked people who said that they had visited a library in the past 12 months if they used the Sartell To Go locker service. 2% of the users said that they had used that service in the past year. Satisfaction with that varied a bit. So about 16% of people were satisfied. 18% of people were not satisfied. Good question.
And Mr. Chair, did they say why they weren't satisfied? Do you get that specific?
We did not ask them to specify what they weren't satisfied about. But that's a good question.
If I mean, the 2% is of the 8,000, roughly. That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. So we had approximately 7,600 users.
So 160 Sartell people responded.
Yep.
Okay.
And so very small percent. Yeah. So overall, users are fairly satisfied with specific services and overall. Our non-user subsample was a little bit interesting. So we did the mixed method modality for this survey because we wanted to make sure we were getting non-users. So we had a telephone survey where we contacted a random subsample of people in the service area. We actually ended up getting a fair amount of non-users from the cardholder list that was provided. So these are people who have library cards but aren't actively using them. For the most part, the non-users say that they're not using your services because they have no need for them or they buy their own materials. We asked about other options such as hours, locations, services. Those things didn't come up very often as reasons for people not using library services. For our non-users, we also asked them a follow-up question about what would encourage them to use the library. Nothing really strongly popped out of those results. So when we asked about changing hours or services or locations, never more than 5% of people said that, yep, that thing would be important to help me use the library. Because we ended up with such a large proportion of non-users from the cardholder list, we also decided to include the overall satisfaction items for this group of people as well. And what we found was that overall, the non-users are less satisfied than users. So a much lower net promoter score. What questions do we have about the study?
Can you talk about the security part that we included in the options?
So we did include an option for non-users asking if they didn't use the library because they didn't feel safe. Less than 2% of participants said that that was the main thing that was keeping them from using library services. So it wasn't something that came up a lot.
Good. Well, either it's working or...
What else do you want to know?
I don't know. There's a lot of good information right here. I'm reading it just by, you know...
I would just like to say, for those of you who aren't sort of calibrated with this kind of survey, this was the happiest respondents I think we've ever had for a local institution. So people love the library. And again, it's not a random sample, but almost 8,000 people. That's a pretty wide range. So people are really happy with the library. One thing that we might do differently next time is ask everyone what would make the library even better. That question was only posed to non-users. So do you use the library? No, I don't use the library. Oh, okay, what could we do to make that more likely for you to use? So had we asked everyone that, you might get some additional information about what the community as a whole or your users would be interested in seeing. But I think other than that, people are quite happy.
When was the last time one of these was done?
2015.
Okay. Can you contrast and compare the answers, or are the surveys too different?
We tried to make them comparable. And so it's one of the reasons the questions were more limited than what we could have done.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the satisfaction levels are very similar. We haven't gotten the raw data yet, so we can't compare service by service how much has changed. I think one of the things that we were surprised at was the number of people who said they used the digital library, because if you look at circulation statistics, that doesn't seem to bear out. And so we're not really sure how to treat that. I think the other thing that you shared with the leadership team, too, was only 10% of users said they were using programming services.
Mm-hmm.
And we invest a lot in offering programs, and it seems to be a fairly popular service. But if we're only hitting 10%.
With a caveat, 10% were attending children's programs, 12% were attending adults, programs for adults, and 1% were attending teen programs.
So something we've been talking about.
I think that's 800 people.
Yeah, it's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
So the new number was the Net Promoter Score, too, because we specifically asked for that to help manage our, understand our marketing efforts a little more. And at least the data I've been looking at, anything over 70 is considered exceptional. So the fact that we're hitting 77 with our users is a pretty positive number.
If I may, under this here, it says 24% of people who use the digital were satisfied. That doesn't tell me how many people are actually using it, though.
The more detailed analyses will be in the full report. We just brought the executive summary today. We do have that information. I don't remember it off the top of my head. But I think among users, it was between 20 and 26% of people said that they had been using the digital library services. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of confusion. It seems like some people were accessing library services through, like, the Hennepin County Library using their GRRL card, so that might be a little bit muddy.
I bet a lot of those people, especially if it's not lining up with your data, I bet a lot of people are like, oh, when I was at the library, I was on a computer, I looked at the card catalog, so I'm betting a lot of people are lumping a whole bunch of stuff together, and memory beyond about a month is really bad for this stuff. So it could be someone 5 years ago who once got an electronic book and liked that book and had positive feelings about that. So, oh yeah, I use that. So, and we didn't specify, have you used this service in the last 12 months? The 12 months thing was only, have you used the library in the last 12 months? And then we ask them about the services. So there's a very good chance that memory is skewed.
And then you also have the Net Promoter Score of 77%. What is the gauge? Is 70 and above excellent or 80?
Yep, 70 and above is good.
So there's no 80, 90. It's got to get above 70.
It's just more excellent.
The reliability goes down in those very high numbers. The difference between an 80 and a 70 or a 90 and a 70 is much less than between a 50 and a 70. It's not scaled in that way for these kinds of scores.
How did you sample your database?
I'm sorry?
How did you sample your database?
We didn't. You did.
Yeah.
Karen gave us the database.
Yeah, we sent over, well, first we got a Minnesota Department of Administration opinion that it was okay to send over our email addresses to St. Cloud State. So they had all of the email addresses we have in our library database that was assigned to anyone who is 18 or older and a resident. So we did not survey our reciprocal patrons, for example, the people from Hennepin using our services. Mm-hmm. We wanted to focus in on the service area. And then the phone survey, that was your data. Yeah.
The phone survey was a random sample of cell phones and landlines, 80% cell, which is our standard percentage given usage rates. And those are assembled using random digit dialing. And so random digits are generated. The company we work with tests those to see which ones are actual cell, actual phone numbers, and then we get that cleaned up list.
Mr. Chairman, how'd you handle the ones that were called? And
we screened. We asked in the phone call if they had taken it.
Okay.
There could be a couple who didn't, but we actually got several people in the phone survey who said, yeah, I've already taken it. And so we said, okay, thanks.
So you didn't take both of them?
No, we did not take both of them.
Mr. Chair, I'm just surprised that we have 11% of people that said they bought their own material in this time and age.
I am too.
Did we have an explanation about, I've heard from especially kids when the new book is in and you know there's a line for 30 people, they'll go out and buy it or they'll pester their parents to buy it like mine do, but were there any reasons why people are buying their own when we can, even if it's a good book or they can request it and we can even buy it if it's considered appropriate?
We didn't ask any follow-up questions about that, so I'm not sure.
We could do a cross analysis with some of the other demographics and find out if there's something there, if there's an age factor, if there's income we have, that which may well be, right? That would make sense. Whether or not somebody has kids, one's need for books increased dramatically when I had a kid, even though I'm a reader to begin with. I came to rely on the library even more when I had a little kid's reading appetite to fulfill.
Anything else for him? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You must be you next here. Fourth quarter 2018 statistics.
Yeah. This kind of lines up with some of what we were talking about. So this meeting is kind of structured to go over what we did last year and where we're going to spend our energy this year. And this is the what we did last year. And we can go into each of these numbers if you want to. I will give you some of the high points. So digital library users is a number we just talked about. We've been trying to get a handle on that number for a while. Now we have two platforms, so you can see that there's a number for each platform. There's likely cross-counting because some people use both platforms. We are on target. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are on target if you add the two numbers together. Below is the actual users and for each platform, but it's defined as active digital library users. And we're not sure if both platforms define that the same way. But it appears that, at least if you compare this with survey data, there are more people from the survey saying they're using that platform than what the active number might actually reflect. And Jamie, you can chime in on that.
So one thing to consider when we're talking about the digital library, we're only counting circulation from those two platforms, Access 360 and OverDrive. And it occurs to me that we also have Tumble Books, which is a children's service. We also have eBooks Minnesota. Those are things that it's unlimited simultaneous use. And so there are folks that could certainly be tapping into those resources that are not reflected in the digital library user statistics that we report, because we don't have those numbers from our other vendors, if that makes sense. I have been looking for clarity between the two services, and from what I can tell, it is active checkouts. It's it's not reflecting if you have an item on hold, for example, or on your wish list. So those are active checkouts. And because we have to purchase each individual license, you may need to wait for quite a while. You may place something on hold and be waiting for several months. So there are people who maybe are waiting for a book, and that's not reflected in this active digital library user category. So those are just a couple of observations.
The other number that stands out on the sheet to me, well, there's two. Borrower numbers, we still have not quite stabilized. It's hard to say whether the changes we made at the end of last year to send email reminders to people to renew their card might help contribute to stabilizing that number. It is decreasing at a slower pace than it did a year ago, but we have not yet gotten that number to turn around. Program attendance also is a pretty substantial number, but later I can talk a little bit more about how that, while that number is increasing, it might not be increasing quite the way we think it is. Any questions on that first page?
Mr. Chairman, does some of this activity, Karen, obviously it occurs outside of the library. This isn't all just in the library.
The program attendance?
The online and those things.
Right. Some of it is metrics for our digital service. Some of it, even program attendance, also includes programs held at offsite. So it is a measure of services. And these metrics we've been looking at since we began the strategic plan. We had kind of picked these out as our temperature gauge, so to speak. The next page digs into statistics you don't normally see but once a year because they're hard to pull out but once a year. Express checkout, we had said we wanted to hit 50% of checkout sessions and 40% of first checkouts by the end of the strategic plan on these stations. And because we added so many stations last year, we felt like we needed to pull out those newer locations because it just takes a little bit for those places to ramp up. For the most part, we're close to hitting target in the places that have had them a long time. But in those places that are functioning lower than what we would expect, we'll have to take a look at moving stations or looking at staff buy-in. One of the other things we're looking at is the fines and fees module. Right now we add it to every one of those stations, and if the utilization isn't high enough, it may not be as cost effective to offer credit card payment at all those locations. So it's something we'll be digging into this year. Summer reading program, we had hoped to see an increase by this point, and we're not seeing it yet, so we're taking a step back and seeing what we can do different with summer reading program, because we do want more kids participating across the region. The social media metrics here are only for the regional Twitter and Facebook pages, and we've been setting that target. Originally, it was 5% increase in follower metrics over the five-year period. We exceeded that in year one, so we just said 5% year over year, but we continue to exceed that target, continue to see growth on those pages. Any questions on those stats at all? Database statistics, big asterisk on all of these because they're all provided by different vendors, and so they decide how they're going to count, and they don't all count the same way, and some years they change the way that they count. That being said, you do have an idea of how much each database is being used. We have more databases on our page than what's listed here, but these are all the ones that Great River actually pays for. So I think Chilton Library is one we've been watching pretty closely. I don't know, Jamie, you want to talk a little bit more about any of that?
As Karen mentioned, the usage statistics vary vendor to vendor, so it might be in the same fruit family, but you don't even know that you're comparing apples to apples. It's more apples to oranges. Some of our resources cost quite a lot, and Chilton Library is one of those that we'll be taking a harder look at moving forward when I think about the cost per usage. On the flip side of that, those manuals are no longer being published. So do you pay a premium to have access to any of the content or, you know, because the new manuals are just online.
Yeah, the YouTube carries a bunch of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it wasn't for YouTube, my son would walk.
Well, and it could be argued that perhaps in our area, something like a small engine repair database would be more useful. Mm-hmm. Because as cars are becoming newer, there's less you can do yourself aside from just change the oil. There's a computer in everything.
Yeah, you change a chip.
Right. or maybe one of those diagnostic tools would be more useful, where you can actually plug it into your vehicle. We did do some concerted marketing efforts around Chilton Library, and so we did see that usage creep up just a little bit. Linda is one of those resources that continues to grow, so I'm pleased to see that. I don't. If there are any questions from the board, I would be happy to try to answer those as well.
Talk about the ancestry number and why it's, is that one of those counted? Or?
Yes, ProQuest is the company that provides the resource, and they have changed the way that they are counting. I have not been able to get an answer in terms of how that method has changed. Because it looks like a very dramatic decline. We do hear consistent feedback from patrons that they appreciate these resources. And what I can't tell you in these numbers is how many patrons are driving that activity. So I think that would give us a more full picture. But again, it's information that, because it's provided through a third party, I don't have access to. Yeah, it is something that I am pressing the representative on, though, because we are, as staff, at an obligation to make sure we're utilizing our taxpayer resources in the most effective way possible. And this does not paint a very compelling picture as to why we would choose to continue to invest, you know, six digits. It's significant.
Mr. Chairman, maybe people are finding out who they're related to and they don't like it, so they stop. Maybe they know already.
There's a few charts and graphs starting on page 9. I did provide a narrative summary there for the metrics, too. The internet and wireless usage graph is interesting, partly because this was the first year we actually saw a decrease in wireless activity. So the lighter color on the bottom is wireless activity. The darker color on top is internet use in the library on the library computers. Hmm. And then they're stacked together to give you an idea of how that composite number looks. I'm not surprised that it went down. I was surprised it went down that fast because we had been seeing a year-over-year increase. The total use in the library on the computers had been declining for a while, so that didn't surprise me near as much. We will be looking at changing how internet sign-up looks as we implement wireless printing in the next year from the monies that were designated last July. So that could change how usage looks if it's easier to access. Attendance per program is a number we've been watching for a while. And this is total number of programs offered divided by total number of people who came. And it's hard to move a regional number up and down. We did a lot more in the library promotion last year, so we would have expected an increase in activity. We also added some local Facebook pages, but we actually saw a decrease. And we aren't yet sure. Brandy has some comments on that, I guess. We're trying to figure out what it means.
So for those of you who I haven't met yet, I'm Brandy. I am a patron services supervisor, sorry. So I have been talking with my staff about this and just kind of saying, why do you think this is going on and what have you been doing differently? And while there has not been any kind of a consistent thing everybody has said, one of the trends that's come up a few times with a number of times with staff is that what they're hearing from patrons is they want more things like the craft programs or STEM stuff or with kits or things like that where they have to limit the number of patrons who can attend it. And so that was one of their questions, was whether or not that might be impacting it as well. That basically trying to meet the requests of patrons means having smaller programs for each program. So that was one of the pieces of feedback that I did get pretty consistently from staff.
Next page gives you a picture of website usage per quarter. We had a major overhaul on the website back in 2016. And part of what happened there is the way things counted didn't quite tabulate the same year over year, so we had to go back. What we are seeing is growth quarter over quarter now, and that's the direction we want to see things go. Below is a chart of the number of likes on each local Facebook page. We did a social media pilot project where some libraries were selected to do a local page to see how that would work. The caveat is in July when we launched, some pages didn't have enough likes in order to get metrics. So some of them are July 1st, some of them are closer to the end of the July. We do see growth on all of those pages, which is something we do want to see. That being said, there was a wide variance in how often people posted, the type of content that they were posting, the things that were successful. And so we've assigned a content work group to try to streamline the process so that we have a unified voice on all of the pages. We're not violating copyright when we're posting images, and that those images are coming from our communications department. So that is a work in progress. We hope to expand the number of local pages, but we have seen some growth on those local pages in a pretty short amount of time. And then the last three pages are just a branch by branch breakout of three different areas. One is the change in borrower numbers from the beginning of the strategic plan to the end of last year. And while we have a -9 total, you can see that there are some libraries that are up, there are some libraries that are down a lot more. And so that branch by branch picture looks a lot different than the aggregate regional total does. And that's also true of the summer reading program statistics. We have some libraries that are really knocking it out of the park and some that have seen declines. So we're going to be focusing on those places that are the bright spots and try to figure out what those best practices are so that we can replicate that in the bigger branches or those libraries that are down. And then the last page is December 2018 circulation statistics. We did break 3 million for the region, which isn't reflected here because the year-to-date total doesn't include online renewals. But you can see we did have about half of the libraries had an increase in circulation last year, which is a continued improvement.
That you got it?
Yeah.
Any questions? Lee?
In addition to practices where some of these places are very successful, it's a subjective observation. But also consider location, you know. Let's approach it like a fast food analysis. If it's convenient, more people use it.
We've been talking about convenience quite a bit since the survey results came in, because it seems like that's our next big thing, is making things easier for people to use, just as a fundamental philosophy.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Library impact report.
This is kind of an overall summary of the region's statistics last year.
That's on page 15.
We will be including this in our annual report when it gets printed in a short amount of time, probably in the next month or two. But if you want to share this with your counties or people in your book group or people at work, feel free to share those numbers.
Mr. Chair, didn't you give these reports to our board when you came?
Yes, we will be coming out and doing county presentations in the next couple of months, too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Anything else on that one? If not, strategic plan.
This is an overview of what we did this year and just the highlights in meeting our service priorities and organizational priorities. You've seen a lot of these updates in the board management reports over the course of the year, but we did want to put it all together in one big summary so that you have it for your own reference.
You guys will all be tested the next months on this one. So.
We looked through this progress and so updated the roadmap, which is the next item in your packet. I can go over the highlights if you want me to, but I think most of you have been through most of that enough that you've heard it all before.
Any questions for her on that, for Karen on that? Otherwise, yeah.
Okay, so roadmap, we did make some adjustments to year four based on where we were at with year three. One is we will continue looking at the borrower number decline in the work group. We'll be using our survey data to kind of figure out next steps. One of the things the professors had mentioned in our conversation with leadership team is there may be some benefit to pulling aside focus groups based on certain populations from the data. Once we know we want to hear more from digital library users, let's reach out to some digital library users and just talk to them about what they want to see. We are going to be offering tech help in at least 2/3 of our libraries with local staff this year. That's an addition based on success we've seen over the past couple years with the tech help. Let's see. Library facility assessments we had in the last board packet, and we are going to continue to work with Howard Lake, Cold Spring, Waite Park, and those other locations that we've seen some challenges with the facilities over the last couple years. Two of the things the leadership team will be working on is, one, we'll be doing the staff engagement survey again this year. We had been doing it every year from 2014 until last year. We took a year off so that we could focus on the user non-user survey. We'll be bringing that back just to make sure that we've got a gauge on how staff are feeling about working at the library. We'll also be continuing to do two process improvements this year. One will be the content marketing work group, which is an extension of the social media team work last year to improve our social media presence. The other one we'd like to look into is revisiting the staffing calculator and staffing at the public services desks. It's been 10 years since the calculator was built, so it seems like it's a good time to have a tune-up. Might be somewhat controversial because it was the last time we did it, but I did talk in the small group meetings I did with staff over the last couple weeks about the idea of taking a look at it, and most people seem to be very supportive of just taking a harder look at how we put those numbers together and make sure we're staffing equitably across the region. The other thing the board might want to weigh in on today, well, two things. Library assessment plan was last done 3 years ago. In our policy, it says we'll revisit that library assessment plan every 3 years. So this is the year that we would do that. Last time we had a couple of board members assigned to that process. Commissioner Wincher was one of those people. So I don't think it'll be as big of an overhaul as it was last time. It was the process that sparked our conversation about additional open hours and express check machines and library assessments and branch agreements and Sartell and additional hours in Elk River. We did a lot from that plan in only 3 years. So we can bring it forward as an action item if you want to. If you want management to tackle it and bring it to the board, we can do that too.
I'd suggest you bring it as an action item.
Okay. And then we are entering year four and year five of the strategic plan. It was constructed so that we could build the next strategic plan. We've talked in some of the meetings about maybe outsourcing that work. We did just contract with St. Cloud State to do the survey. We've got community meetings happening at most of our libraries before the plan runs out. But how would the board want to approach the next strategic plan? Do we want to use a similar process last time, do it in-house, outsource?
The advantage of doing it relatively the same as you can do some measurements. The disadvantage is that doing it relatively the same is you might miss out on some new concepts. So I don't have a preference. I'm just saying, what's your sense of the need? You know, your opinions are just as valid as mine.
Any suggestions? No suggestions, maybe just keep it the same.
I'm sorry, is there any way you could combine the two to get something where, you know what I'm saying? Kind of make a little difference, but not much. And is there some things that we need to, you know?
Limit the number of new items.
Yeah,
how's that?
Just kind of,
How about your professional associations? You know, what's in the literature? You know, what's in the winds of change? You know, what do you guys talk about besides complaining about your spouse?
I never complain about my spouse.
You know? Oh, God.
Say never, Karen.
Of course, there's different definitions,
So do you have any guidance on that?
That gives me a picture. Right. What I will probably do is pull together a couple of action items based on what we did last time and have the board look at that next time.
There you go.
Thanks. I think those were the highlights that I saw from the roadmap. Was there anything I missed for those of you who are here from leadership team? I'm going to turn the mic over to you all for the department work plans. So.
Department work plans. I thought you were just moving on.
I'll do first, but you guys get to dig deep. So each department is asked to put these work plans together. It gives you a picture of how those departments are structured and then how many FTEs have been assigned by position, the revenue lines assigned to them in the budget, and then the strategic initiatives come over from that roadmap. So for the most part, you should be able to go to the roadmap and go, okay, that's assigned to that department, and this is where it lands. So it's an overview. But I'd like, especially Jay and Jamie and Brandy, to talk about those things that you'll be working on in the coming year and any other highlights from your department for 2019. Well, if you want, Aaron. I told Aaron he didn't have to because he talks at all the board meetings. But
I'll make mine quick. The department structure hasn't changed from last year. Some of the numbers have changed for the 2019 budgeted amounts for the amount of revenue that we're going to be bringing in. A few things that changed is like the city of Elk River and the city of Sartell are now not dedicated funds, they are coming in through operating revenue. Let's see. I don't have any expenditures budgeted for capital either. Not replacing any vehicles this year. They're all pretty new yet. Checks process was about the same, maybe a little bit more in 2018 than 2017. Holds filled was up, so distribution was just slight bit busier than last year. And then for the Sartell locker, you can see there, not a real good comparison, but once I have 2019 data, it'll look a little more level. That's because we started the locker system in October of 17. So, and one other change was that for the year four, along with the executive director, we're going to be working on it's something we do every year during the audit is look at the internal controls and standards and evaluate to make sure that we're covering all our bases within accounting duties.
How about it, Jamie?
Okay. This is sort of a special occasion. I don't get an opportunity to chat with you all very often, so I oversee the collection, and I work with fantastic folks in interlibrary loan and technical services. We kind of work the magic to make all of the things of the library available, whether it's obtaining new materials or getting rid of old materials. I always find this to be a really interesting exercise. Since we've been doing it for the past few years, Aaron's laughing because I'm not a statistics guru. It kind of gives me a little bit of heartburn every year, but I learned something new in the process. And now that we've done it for several years, you can sort of see some trends developing in the data. One of the things I'm really proud of is we've worked to streamline the donated materials process. We've continued to add additional titles to the collection. The materials that our patrons drop off, and we clean them up and add them into the collection. So that has increased, and that allows us to spend money on the more specialized materials. We have a deep and broad collection, and I think that's reflected in our interlibrary loan statistics. We continue to be a net lender, meaning we provide a reciprocal service to other libraries. When you're looking, I'll try to stay in sequential order. I don't excel at that. But on page 38 under department expenditures, one of the challenges and opportunities, when we talked about the digital library numbers of folks who are using it, databases and digital library are the most expensive services or products that we offer to our patrons. With our databases, there is an inflationary increase every year, so just to keep the service the same costs additional dollars. Ebook, e-audio, again, it's the digital age. We need to provide these resources. I think our digital library user numbers would be stronger if we had more materials to offer. What that picture does not tell us is how many folks try the digital library and maybe get frustrated with the wait, and so they do purchase that book on their Kindle on their own, for example. If we had more to choose from and if the process were easier, we may have additional usage. So it is a growth opportunity. We are continuing to see some growth. One of my goals is to see those numbers increase 5%. Part of that will involve exploring streaming services. The board did designate some dollars for that, so I'm looking to implement that in late 2019. And because 88% of our patrons, as per the survey, are continuing to use us primarily for our physical materials, I don't feel that I can pull from the physical material budget to grow the digital. So I'm primarily using gift dollars. You can see the budgeted amount is $59,000 for ebook e-audio. I've spent more than that every year. This doesn't show what I budgeted. That additional spending has been primarily funded through either a designation from the board or the generosity of our patrons. So let's see what else I want to highlight. So in terms of department strategic initiatives, a lot of that is revolving around the digital side of things. I want to review our e-materials vendors just to make sure it's the right solution for our patrons. That will probably involve some focus groups to speak with the folks who are using the services currently. Looking at streaming, increasing the database usage, which is always a moving target because those metrics and how they are measured continues to change. I'll be working to implement an acquisitions module in, I guess that's a fancy way of saying we are going to be streamlining and automating our ordering processes. Right now I have an incredible staff member who's been with us for over 30 years, and she's using Microsoft Access to maintain our budget and holdings, and that will be integrated into our online system Horizon. So that's going to be a growth opportunity and a challenge in the next, we'll have that implemented by June. And then because most of our patrons are using our physical locations, I think it's really important that I continue to work with our staff to provide a dynamic browsing collection. Our circulation, only about 40% is driven by holds. So those items that you see in the catalog and you say, oh, it's not at my location, I'd like to place a request and have that delivered to Sartell or to St. Michael. But that means 60% of our circulation is driven by folks who are coming into our libraries, browsing the shelves, and they just want to find something new, to have that serendipity of finding something, oh, I didn't even know I was looking for this. So that will also help us maximize the investment in the floating collection. So that is what 2019 will be bringing for my department. And if you have any questions or ideas, please feel free to let me know.
How do you select the people that participate in your focus groups?
That is a very good question. With data privacy, we're limited in how we can use the information that we have. Karen and I have kind of gone back and forth on this, and I don't yet have a plan, but if you know someone or if you yourself are a digital library user, folks are starting to self-identify. Karen was at a community meeting in Clearwater, and there were a couple of individuals who said, oh, I would love to talk to you about this. So it might not be a representative random sample, but I really would like to hear from those power users of how we can make the service easier. Thank you.
Anything else for Jamie? Otherwise, communication and development.
Oh. Rand came last meeting, so she didn't come to this one. So the... If you have questions about the communications plan, I can answer those as best we can. One big change is we did break out the fundraising campaigns by campaign this year a little differently and took major gifts and made it its own category. So it actually changes how the annual appeal numbers look because those major gifts are now their own category, and that's mm-hmm. how they should be treated as its own solicitation path.
HR.
Julie's not here tonight either.
Jay's going to be the HR pilot, right?
If you have questions about HR, the big thing they'll be working on is making sure everybody who works the public service does.
I know he's technology, but I thought he'd be kind of good at HR too.
He might be.
Go ahead, Jay. Technology. All right.
So I think the upshot of what our department work plan shows is that there's just a lot that we have to maintain. We have to keep things up. If you have a smartphone, for example, there's an update every other day that's coming down from Google or Apple. And it's not all that different than what we're looking at with switches and desktop equipment and servers. We just have to keep up with all of the updates, keep up with security, keep up with standards. Yesterday, while the library was closed, three guys from IT came in and we ripped out almost 200 network cables and replaced 9 switches here and then put it all back together before everybody arrived this morning. So those kinds of things, that happens maybe every 10 years for those, but there's other things that are going on all the time. So. When you look at our strategic initiative list, it's primarily about keeping up, about updating, keeping current, keeping secure. In addition to what's listed here, a lot of what we're doing this year is a result of unassigned fund balance last year. So we are adding tablets for our public service staff to assist patrons with. We have 35 of those sitting in our office right now. We're getting ready. We have Blue Cloud Analytics, which you approved last year. That's going to be a method for us to do reporting and analysis of our usage out of our library catalog. We have Jamie's acquisitions project that's going forward. So thank you. We've got a lot of good new stuff coming, but it's a lot of new stuff that we're ingesting into our processes and how we do things. So that's those projects. Another one is when you approved the wireless printing last year, we had gotten quotes from a couple of vendors for adding it on to what we're already doing. And when our computer systems analyst, Steve Lex, started looking into it, he found that we're probably going to be able to replace our computer reservation and print system that we have with a new one that also has wireless printing. So, and it's going to be better than what we have now. So that's going to be a good win, but it does mean it's going to take a little more effort to strip what we have out and put in something new. So,
any questions for Jay?
Karen, feel free to exploit Stearns County IT relative to a learning curve on surveillance equipment. If it can do you any good, great. And if it can't, you looked. But George, our IT geek, our head IT geek, is willing to participate.
Thanks.
All right. I think Brandy's on his next year.
All right, thank you. And since we've already talked a lot about statistics relating to public services and programming and borrower numbers and things like that, unless anyone has specific questions for me, I'm going to skip over that to the strategic initiatives. During 2018, each of our library services coordinators identified what they want to be their target audience for this year. So you can see the first one. The first activity is each library will have reached or exceeded their identified performance targets for the target audience identified in 2018. That sounds really dull because this is all just basic paperworky stuff, but it's actually hugely, hugely exciting. So just to remind you what that means, is that at each library, the staff have looked at what are the needs in this community, what is homegrown, what are the homegrown needs, what do people want, what is really exciting to our patrons, but also what is who's underserved, who are we not reaching yet, where's their potential, and so they've developed a series of goals based on those questions of who's underserved, what is the undeveloped potential, and turn that into goals that they will then be working on throughout the year. We have a number of branches who are working. Whose target audience are educators. So whether that's home educators or linking up with their public or parochial schools or all of the above, lots of people working on expanding services and programs offered to the over 55 population, to preschoolers, families in poverty. And so I think you can look forward to a lot of exciting stuff in my reports that I will be sending in as our libraries get, ramping up on this year's goal. But that's one little point, but that's really the meat of what's happening within the patron services strategic initiative is just how are we meeting goals of underserved populations and how are we tapping into untapped potential at the local level. The other thing we've talked a lot about in my team, my fellow patron services supervisors, Ryan and Rachel, is we've talked about what have we learned over the course of this strategic plan in terms of what are best practices that we've identified? Because when you look at our libraries across the region, you'll see some of them are just doing amazing stuff with story times. Others have got their local tech help that is just really has developed incredible initiatives and collaborations. Like in Delano, we've got a staff person who it wasn't bringing in a lot of people for him to offer tech support at the library itself, but he noticed the people who were coming in were all over 55. So he reached out to the local senior center and said, hey, I think your population is my population. Can I come hang out with you guys? They said, yes, it's amazing. It's just a magical collaboration there. And so really exciting stuff like that that's happening around where we are starting to clearly identify what are best practices. Where are people raising the bar in different ways at their libraries, and how can we articulate that so that we can share that information with the rest of the Great River team, and so we can try to get everybody up to where we're all at least doing the best practices in as many areas as possible. So that also is a big goal, and that will manifest itself in things like, as Karen mentioned, having at least 2/3 of branches provide at least 3 locally supported tech help times. Things like that, where we're meeting that best practices model. Okay? I want to really respect your clock, but do you have any questions for me on patron services? All right, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks,
yeah. Yes, sir, yeah.
Okay, so with the recent stuff that happened at the YMCA, mm-hmm. there has been a lot of talk about the marginalized communities that are actually afraid to go to the YMCA. And there has been a lot of talk about how can we address that, which is not being done very much right now. Mm-hmm. Is there any sense of that that we have in, we have looked into? I mean, I see all people of all color, age, size here.
Yeah.
But this is such a big place which should be welcoming to all. I'm just wondering, is there any sense that you have ever received from patrons about that this place is not a friendly or open or acceptable place?
Yes, and also just that it's inaccessible in different ways in terms of we don't know how to operate in the library. That might be the biggest one. And so I think that sense is part of what drove us to apply for the LSTA grant that we've got going on right now with the bilingual cultural navigator to try to help us make some inroads into what do we need to do better. We're talking a lot about that, and the goals then being what can we learn here through that LSTA grant, through hiring our cultural navigators to help us again identify what are those best practices so that we can get that out and be working more proactively and intentionally about being more welcoming, being accessible, those kinds of things. Does that answer your question?
It does, but you know, as being a member of this board, and being a co-chair of the Unite Cloud board, we have been talking about the fact that people of diversity are so underrepresented on boards, mm-hmm. which is the same for pretty much every boards around here. And how do we get that to change? How do we get people motivated to be involved in the decision-making process of this is your library and you mm-hmm. should be a part of it and you should speak up and say this is what would make it better? Mm-hmm. Not much happening on that front, though.
Well, I'll tell you what, Zuria, I want to sit down and have coffee with you. Maybe we can answer this question. We can fix the world right now.
That's our goal.
Yeah. No, I think those are, all joking aside, really, really valid questions. And on our both within the leadership team and also the smaller patron services supervisors team, we talk about those things a lot. And we are looking for ideas and inroads. And with the local libraries, really working with staff to work at developing those collaborations locally. And so the other thing, if I can just take a couple more minutes to answer, that we're trying to work with our staff on is, you know, in these kinds of environments, we talk a lot about data. How many borrowers do we have? What is our circulation? How many people attended programs? And those kinds of things. And that can narrow our scope to want to do the kinds of things that will build numbers in those areas. And so we work with our staff about stuff has to happen to get to that maybe your win for the next 6 months is not that you have an actual program, but that you have a collaborative partner who you've met with twice, and you're starting to build those inroads, develop the shared language where you understand what they're saying, because that, frankly, is such a big issue, that we as librarians can be really good at thinking we know the answers. We can be really good at going in and outreach type environments and saying, this is what we have, come, instead of saying, hey, who are you? You know, let's talk, let me find out about you, and let's come to a shared understanding of what needs are. And so really working with staff about trying to shift those paradigms, build those collaborative relationships, so that we get to know people as people within our communities, and therefore, hopefully, that helps us see where intentionally or unintentionally we are prohibiting access and where we might be able to help open doors. Does that?
It does. I just want to say over the past 2 years, there has been such an increase from the marginalized communities reporting that places like the YMCA, the Social Security Office, the city center, you know, I haven't heard anything from the library where people are approached without any provocation and said, you need to go back to your country, or why are you here, or you know, you're getting free money from us and you're taking our jobs and stuff, which is creating a real fear of not even going to those places. And how,
yes.
And I don't know what we can do to address it, but it needs to be addressed because the rumors then keeps building up, and then that just snowballs into something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's, again, where we go back to let's build relationships with people in our community.
Yeah. Thanks, Brandy. All right, moving on. Uppsala Library open hours. Looks like they want us 3 hours, huh?
Yep. So similar to what we did in Clearwater last year or the year before, we had a vacancy recently, and typically we bring these to the board as an information item at the end of the year so that we can implement January 1st. The retirement came up after the first of the year, but we felt like we wanted to move on it this year, even though it's out of cycle. So the library assessment plan, we had said Uppsala is a prime location to add three extra hours if we can do it. We added a senior library aide 2 years ago. That's been a good experiment there. And now, because of the retirement, we have some flexibility with the staffing dollars to actually extend those hours by three. So they're adding Tuesdays starting in April. And it actually is still cost-saving because we have a retirement. We're assuming we're hiring beginning of scale.
So the library there'd be no budget increase.
There's no budget increase. And the library services coordinator will be taking some of those hours in order to make this happen. But we expect it to be actually somewhat cost savings, and we'll be able to add an additional open day in it, as well as three open hours.
So the question I have, is this something that we bring up as an action item that we vote on as a board?
We have not.
So is this something you'd like us to do? Or should we just say it right now, we can do it?
Well, it's a work session, so we didn't structure it right for the board to take
action.
So we'd
have to do an action.
But if the board wants to change how we do these in the future, we can certainly look at doing it as an action item. Because it was in the assessment plan as the direction we wanted to go, there has been board action on that already.
Mr. Chair, I was going to say, if we have it, it's kind of cost neutral, and it's got an, why would we want to have the board say okay, yes or no? I mean, we should just leave it up to the executive director and then to take care of it. So that's my opinion. If it's,
that's what we've done before too.
And that's a good opinion.
Good, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, so you got some
Howard Lake. There isn't a lot new. I sent the press release that was out last week. Randy did get a question from a patron about why the library is closed. So he responded with information from the press release, and staff have actually posted now the press release on the door of the Howard Lake Library. So if people have questions, they actually have the background. The city council is meeting tonight. The city administrator is giving them a full update on what's going on with the project. At this point, this is the first update the council has had since we had our last board meeting. So we're still waiting on test results. We're hoping that we'll get an all clear in terms of having people in the space once those cultures come back. There will still have to be work done in the spring because the remediation work has been started, but a lot of the source of the issue is related to the dirt work on the outside of the library, and that can't really be addressed until the ground thaws.
No spring sense. So. All right, thanks for that update. St. Cloud Library lease update.
Randy is going to be, Commissioner Winter is going to be meeting with Mayor Kleiss next Tuesday at 1 o'clock to talk about the lease. It'll be a good next step. I was also updated by the Public Works Assistant Director last week that they're continuing to look at putting solar on the building.
Is this a pay-per-view event with those?
I want to be a mouse in
the corner. Is it a neutral site?
it'll be here at the library.
And I met with Karen and the staff this afternoon to kind of go over the old lease or whatever, you know, so questions that I may have for them or what they may have, and we'll see what it all comes out to be. So,
yeah.
Worst thing can happen, we just won't be here anymore. I don't know. You know, so. They just tell us that we can't have a lease there anymore.
Could happen.
Which I don't think will happen. I don't think so either. So we'll see how that comes out. Otherwise, anything else?
I should give the board an update too. We did get an email from the city last week indicating that there was, we had a staff member who had noticed a security camera was out.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And asked the city IT department, who maintains the system, to look at it and see if we could fix it. The response from city IT and city administration was that they are not paying for any maintenance items at this point. They're only focusing on critical systems. So at this point, we do have issues with maintaining the security cameras. The information was forwarded to St. Cloud Police Department, the board members who are involved, and I know I've had an email conversation with Sheriff Soika and George over in County IT.
McClure. Yeah. If nothing else, it isn't like Stearns County has got an answer on that, but it doesn't hurt for our folks to understand this system, potentially for a backup. But, you know, systems are uniquely assembled. Maybe we can't do nothing, but let's see what's there. So,
and just moving forward, the lease agreement that we have, that's what we're going to try to get going, because the fact is that they're, by them not wanting to pay for it, which I feel it's part of the building.
Yeah.
You know, so it should be part of their payment, but they're saying we don't have a lease, and I can go into all that if you want some time, which we won't. But so that's what we're going to go and see how this lease agreement currently that we don't have, that we might have, and then we move forward. So,
if I may, Mr. Chair, coming in today, who maintains the sidewalks?
The city.
I got it. I
don't. Oh, sidewalks? Depends on which part of the sidewalk. Some of it's the city and some of it's the custodians. If it's in the immediate vicinity of the library, it's generally custodial staff. If it's further out,
it's on Parallel Street.
I've seen better care of sidewalks, and there are, I mean, there, it's packed snow and it's getting to be ice. It's going to turn to ice.
Yep.
Especially when you walk in right over here. That's
so I don't know why.
Yeah, that's city. That stretch is city.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, something has to be done with them sidewalks. It's a big liability out there right now. So,
something for McMahon to do.
Yeah.
There you go. So I don't know who's doing it, but I'm just saying they're risky. So,
Mr. Spring.
Well, I don't know when he'll show up, but he might be a little late. But I just noticed that just not.
Yeah.
Even for a wheelchair to go down that is a challenge. Mm-hmm. Them sidewalks, because you can't, you know, how to push a shopping cart down them is difficult. So.
Anything else? Meeting adjourned.